Hi, we're Josh
and Arielle Wamsley,
owners of Green Valley Tree LLC, based in North Windham.
We're proud to sponsor Connecticut East this week and to serve the communities of Windham and New London counties with our tree removal and plant healthcare services.
Visit our website at greenvalleytreeworks.com for a full list of our services or give us a call on 860-234-4041. We look forward to hearing from you.
With COVID-19 restrictions in Connecticut slowly being lifted by the governor, what's the future looking like for our entertainment venues? We talk with the new artistic director and the new managing director of Goodspeed Opera House to find out. Plus, a look at other stories making the headlines from around the region. This is Connecticut East This Week. Hello, I'm Brian Scott-Smith. Governor Lamont is slowly lifting some of the COVID-19 restrictions for various businesses in the state as vaccinations continue to increase. We're still some way off to returning to some kind of normal, but many see it as a positive step in the right direction. Entertainment venues like cinemas and theatres were hit hard by COVID-19 restrictions, but many have found other ways to keep their patrons, supporting them and providing entertainment along the way. Goodspeed Opera House, based in East Haddam, has been closed since the pandemic, but that hasn't stopped them providing entertainment and making one of the biggest changes in 50 years by creating two leadership roles after longtime executive director Michael Gennaro, who we interviewed on this program, decided to retire. I caught up with the new artistic director, Donna Lynn Hilton, and the new managing director of Goodspeed, David Bird, for a chat. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Welcome. I thank you for having us, Brian.
David, I'm going to kick off with you. Big shoes to fill, new managing director. How do you feel about it?
This is a really, really interesting time that we're all living through. And to be able to join such an esteemed, industry-wide, well-known institution like Goodspeed Musicals during this time means a lot to me. You know, I'm thrilled to return to Connecticut. I'm thrilled to embark on this adventure with a new artistic director in Donna Lynn, and also just really hopeful and see great promise in our future at Goodspeed. And know that, you know, these are difficult times. I'm sure we'll talk about some of that here in a bit, but that we have a bright future ahead of us. So I just feel really honored to join the team at this time.
And Donna, I mean, you are no stranger to Goodspeed. You've been there since 1988 as the producer. So when they said to you, hey, we want you to be the artistic director, what came into your mind?
I was thrilled. I had made the decision when I knew that Michael Gennaro was going to retire and that the board had made the decision to split the executive leadership into two positions, that I wanted this job. As you say, I've been at Goodspeed a long time, really from the ground up. First job here was as an assistant stage manager. And so I really have gotten to know the institution and value the institution from the ground up. And it really is the thrill and honor of my lifetime to be given this opportunity. And particularly, as David says, at a time when everything we thought we knew about theater, about running theaters, about arts institutions has been challenged, to be put in this position this moment is just a tremendous honor.
As we said, you're Goodspeed's producer, which is a creative role in itself. So why did the board of directors go down the path of deciding they were going to split the leadership level in two?
It's a big job. You know, Goodspeed is a massive institution. We just, our physical properties alone is a huge portfolio. That our historic opera house is a full-time job to maintain and curate. And in addition to that, we own 40 properties across three towns here in the Lower Connecticut River Valley. And everything I've said had nothing to do with the art, right? And so it is a massive job in the 21st century to expect that any one individual was going to bring the very refined skill sets that are necessary to lead the artistic drive of an institution, the size and stature of Goodspeed's, and to manage the business and administrative ends of the institution. That's a very heavy lift. And so I think it was a very smart decision on the board's part to make this move at this moment. I think it has coincided happily, sadly, with the pandemic. And I think that in David and me, they have two people who both value the art and understand the business of creating great musical theater. And we have very different job descriptions and portfolios. And I think so far, it's going great. And it's a really wise move on the part of the Board of Trustees.
You know, and I'll just add to, again, I applaud the board, you know, of all times for, you know, a pretty radical shift, you know, in the leadership structure of such a, you know, esteemed organization to take place. This is the time to do it. And rather than, you know, bandying back and forth about whether it should happen, the board said, yeah, we're doing this. And I echo Donalyn's sentiments that, you know, at this time, it makes sense. It makes sense for our organization. It makes sense for our future. And, you know, we long for the day that we're actually working in the same facility. You know, we're not in the midst of a pandemic and we can plop down in each other's offices and dream a bit about our institution and where we're going. But, I also echo what Donalyn said in terms of it's going well so far. You know, it really is. I think we're able to provide counsel for one another, but also really push each other in really, really excellent ways.
So David, let me just pick up on a little point with you a bit further about the artistic director aspect, because of course, previously since 2017, you were the managing director of the Virginia Stage Company in beautiful Norfolk, Virginia. Did you have an artistic director there?
I did. Yeah, indeed. You know, I mean, you really, in the American Regional Theater, you see, you know, one or two leadership models, right? There's a central new leadership model of someone, you know, like Goodspeed prior till now, or it's typically a dual leadership model, which is, you know, what Donalyn and I are doing at this moment. So, you know, yes, at Virginia Stage, we did have an artistic director that I worked alongside. You know, I've always been a manager. You know, it's what I've been trained to do. It's fed my soul, you know, from a management standpoint, but also artistically, I've made a career out of supporting artists. So to work alongside an artistic director and charting the strategic direction of the organization just makes good sense. And you know, I'm really thrilled to be a part of that.
And of course, your own background as well. You graduated the Yale School of Drama here in good old Connecticut. You were the director of marketing at the Westport Country Playhouse as well. And then, of course, you deserted us and went down to the state of beautiful Virginia. Why did you do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks for sliding that on in there. You know, it's funny. I view this new life as, you know, Goodspeed's first managing director as a homecoming of sorts. You know, I'm very fond of Connecticut. Obviously, I've spent a great bit of time there. You know, I kind of joke that, you know, with Goodspeed, I will have worked at, you know, half of Connecticut's flagship producing theaters, but there's a reason for the return. You know, we love the rich cultural fabric of Connecticut. I love that it's a state that the arts institutions work well together. They play in the sandbox together, as you say. So, you know, although I'm Southern born and certainly have Southern roots, you know, a return to New England just feels right in this time. It really does.
I was going to say, where is that accent from specifically?
You hear it. Yeah. So I grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina. Yeah. It's kind of an interesting tidbit about Donalyn and I. We both have North Carolina roots.
Yeah, we do. I grew up just outside of Chapel Hill.
So let's get down to the nitty gritty of your two roles, both of you. A lot of work ahead. I mean, not that anyone's suggesting you haven't been working, obviously, since you've been given these roles. But as we continue to deal with the pandemic, I mean, clearly it's still having a huge impact on everything. Thankfully, the Save Our Stages Act has helped out a lot of entertainment and theatrical venues. But still, there's a lot of work behind the scenes to do to bring them back. So, David, what are some of the things that you're hoping to do as restrictions start to ease here in Connecticut? And also, hopefully, we're starting to see the tail end of the pandemic.
Yeah, you know, I think we're all in that place, right? We're ready to see the other side of this. And I think that on the other side of this, the other side is going to look different. You know, I think that we're all forever changed by this experience that we've had, not only professionally, you know, our industry has just been ravaged by this in a lot of ways, but also we've been carrying this personally. And so I think we're different people now than we were some 12 months ago. You know, I'm looking forward to gathering again. The very nature of what we do is ephemeral. We gather together, we hear an excellent musical before us, and that is the only time that will ever happen in that exact set of circumstances. The next night, there will be another performance, but there'll be a different audience, you know, so it'll be somewhat different. So, you know, really looking forward to getting together again. You know, we want to do it in a way that is very safe. You know, we want our patrons to be safe. We want our artists to be safe. And frankly, we want to be safe. So it's going to be some time yet. We are seeing, you know, the vaccines are rolling out, which is excellent. We know that there are some restrictions that are being eased, but we are going to be really thoughtful and very methodical about how we come back together to produce so that we can be as happy and healthy as we possibly can be going into the future.
We'll pick up on that in just a moment with you again. But Donna, I wanted to ask you this question, obviously, from the artistic and creative side. People, I think, often have a misnomer about how, you know, sort of like productions, et cetera, put together. And I think they think that, you know, these things happen with just 5 minutes notice, et cetera. And clearly they don't. I mean, how do you coordinate this with all of this still going on and hoping to try and get some sort of slate of productions, you know, ready? Because we know that we are going to see these restrictions ease more and more, hopefully, as the year goes through. But how do you plan for this? And how do you hope to try and get productions to Goodspeed?
You're right that it is very challenging in this environment to plan a season. We have plans to produce South Pacific and a new musical, Anne of Green Gables, on the map right now. But at the same time, we are developing plans to do smaller projects, to be outside on the lawn if that becomes necessary. And we have to keep multiple projects in coordination at any given time. We have so many spreadsheets and budgets and calendars that we have been running really since last March when we left our offices for the first time. And at the same time, we remain committed to a very particular mission and a very particular vision for Goodspeed. And so navigating this path is constant. It's complicated. We are in touch with multiple groups of artists weekly, checking in regularly. If this happens, then that happens. And, you know, we will be ready to move just as soon as the path forward becomes clear. But, you know, we recently heard, gratefully, that the governor had changed the capacity guidelines for performing arts venues, but they're still not at a place where we can afford to get back into our building and produce if it were safe to do so. And of course, we all know it is not yet safe for that. So we're navigating multiple scenarios, communicating with multiple groups of artists about multiple projects, and tracking a ton of information so that we will be ready to move in a COVID-safe environment as fiscally responsibly as we can as soon as that path becomes clear.
Goodspeed, of course, has a reputation, a very good reputation, of producing some incredible productions and musicals. People flock from all over the state and out of the state to come to Goodspeed. I mean, it is one of the places to go to. You're also known for sort of productions which are either pre-Broadway or go on to Broadway, which again is phenomenal. This must have hurt incredibly, this whole sort of like close down.
Oh, this shutdown has not, I mean, not only is just the reality of what this has done to the musical theater pipeline, but as David alluded to earlier, what it has done to our industry. Nearly everyone I know has been personally and professionally devastated by this pandemic. People have lost their jobs. People have lost relationships. People have had to change their significant pieces of their lives in response to this pandemic. And we're very far from out of this yet for the theater industry. And so it has been a very, very challenging time. I think the good news is that theater people are among the most resilient people on the face of the earth. You know, what we do under the best of times is very challenging. And so, you know, we've stayed in touch with one another, the colleagues, other theater producers and managers and artistic directors that have been, we've all been in constant communication with one another. It has been very, very trying. And at the same time, I think our community is closer than ever. Mm. And we're going to take full advantage of that as we all start to rebuild.
David, Goodspeed has a huge following, not just, as I say, from locals, but from people across the state and elsewhere. That patronage must be incredibly important, not only to you, but of course, to the ongoing survival of places like Goodspeed.
It is. Yeah, incredibly so. And I think that, you know, you think about the word of the year last year, which was probably pivot, right? And we're all loath to say that this year, because we're kind of tired of saying it. But there's also an adaptability factor that has been required. You know, maybe that's the word of the year this year, adapting. It's made us really think about how we connect with our community, right? Because we can't gather right now. So, you know, that interaction and that engagement with our public, our community, you know, as broadly defined as it may be, is really important, you know. But what it's also done is it's forced us to do what we do best, which is to be creative, you know. And we've created some really excellent content that's available virtually, you know, our education programs. You know, we have some significant education programs that really provide a remarkable service, particularly to underserved communities in our area. And we could have decided, you know, when the pandemic, you know, came to be that those would just cease. But instead, our team, you know, as strapped as we were with, you know, furloughs and reduced hours and all of those things, have stuck to it, you know, and we're still delivering. We're still making those connections with our community because it's what we do. You know, it's important. You know, Donna Lynn just said this, that we're a resilient lot, and it's true. And I really do that on the other side of this, again, when we see that, however we see that, that there will be elements of what we experience that we're going to continue to take along with us. You know, some of this virtual content that we've created, whether it's, you know, Great Speed or, you know, In the Spotlight or other programs that we've created very much in and of and for this time, I think will continue to supplement and complement our ongoing work. So it's my hope that some of that will stick around.
Donna, I want to ask you this question. Obviously, David is new to Goodspeed. We've established that you have been at Goodspeed for a number of years. Now, of course, when the pandemic hit last year and everything got closed down, you still managed to get some productions out there. You still managed to treat people to some entertainment outside because the weather was good. Is that going to be the situation, you know, for this year as well? Give us a bit of an idea of some of the things that you've got planned.
Yeah, I mean, we're still waiting to see what the state guidelines are going to allow us to do, but we do have plans to proceed on the lawn if we are not able to be back inside. Everything we are talking about producing is musical theater centric, because that is what Goodspeed is known for. That's what we excel at. And so we will be pursuing concerts, cabarets, potentially developments of work, new work on the lawn, while we track plans for returning to the interior of the building with the full productions that our audience anticipates from us.
Do you feel that some of these smaller productions, which will still be much appreciated, obviously, by the audience, could become a part of the staple of Goodspeed maybe going forward as well? Because if people clearly like the content that you are creating, these smaller productions, is that going to be something that could potentially be financially viable, as I say, as part of the overall scope of what you provide as a theater?
I believe it could, yes. We had a great experience on the lawn last summer, and I found myself going, why have we not done this before? And so from that moment, I have been committed to finding a way to continue that type of programming, relaxed, maybe a little bit more family oriented, also able to target different audiences. You know, if we're not investing massive amounts of money in a full production of a show that we have to satisfy a 10-week subscription with, we may be able to program projects that we would not otherwise be able to pursue. And so more diverse projects from a diversity of artists, diversity of sound, really allowing us to broaden the scope of what we are producing and developing and putting in front of our audience, and allowing us to, as David said earlier, better speak to our community, our entire community, and make Goodspeed as relevant as possible in the service of our community.
And the point I want to make to you, David, about that is all great, you know, diversity and having this ability to, you know, change things up. But of course, at the end of the day, you are a business. You have to make money. Mm-hmm. Is this viable? Is this something that could be viable to keep you going?
Right. You know, it's a great question. And, you know, it's something that we are taking a lot of time looking, you know, looking through and really diving into. I think that, you know, I've heard tell, you know, recently that, you know, this time is much like all, you know, all the planes are grounded. So how do we fix all the planes, you know? And I really think that's appropriate. I mean, we're really taking this time to look inwardly at who we are, how we produce, and, you know, what our core values are and, you know, what they will be going into the future. So all of those things are important, you know, really, as Donalyn said, we have, you know, when we're producing full scale, we have certain marks that we, yes, absolutely have to meet. And so we have to investigate with all of these projects and these programs, you know, what the ROI on those programs may be. And that may not always be in cash, right? Let's be frank. But at the end of the day, some of them have to be. So it's a part of our charge. You know, it's very much a part of our partnership between Donalyn and myself to really investigate all these things as we're looking ahead to the future for Goodspeed, because we want Goodspeed to be a sustainable business, right? And we want to continue to achieve our mission by doing the very best of what we do. Sometimes that's going to entail taking risks. You know, we've talked a lot lately about how do we go through this time, come out of this time, being as bold as possible and as brave as possible. But we also have to tie that back to the balance sheet and make sure that we can achieve all of those things.
And Brian, if I may add to that, you mentioned the Save Our Stages Act earlier in the capture. And, you know, I think it's important that the audiences understand that we are still waiting for an understanding of what that opportunity is going to mean to any of our theaters. The application is still not available online. We are still awaiting the answer to many of the detailed questions around our eligibility and the size of our grant opportunity. And until some of that becomes clearer, we do still have to assume the worst, really.
Right.
And so, you know, we are still very far from being at a place where we can sustain ourselves. There's no denying that. So every plan we consider has to be viewed through that lens. We are still very far from financial sustainability.
No, that's disappointing to hear about that. So let's hope that they clear that up soon, obviously, not only for yourselves, but for all the other very worthy theatres and entertainment venues. I just want to very briefly and very quickly ask you a final question. You started a streaming service. Streaming, of course, is the big thing these days as we're all at home watching stuff. What are your hopes for the streaming service? And again, as we get back into whatever normality is, once the pandemic is behind us, is streaming something that could continue as well?
Goodspeed On Demand, the title that we have given our streaming service, which has launched currently. We are, the first piece of that will be the archive capture of a production at our Terrace Theater that took place in 2019. And it is a new musical called Passing Through by Brett Ryback and Eric Ulloa. Wonderful, accessible, relevant, important new work that we hosted the first production of. We ended up with a great archive capture. And I will say very quickly after receiving the news that I had secured this position, offered the idea that we could stream Passing Through, the two goals primarily in this work, which is audience engagement. As we've said multiple times through this, we need to remain engaged with our audience. Our audience has been present for us throughout this pandemic and have sustained us. And we want to continue to maintain that engagement. But separate from that, Passing Through is a really great opportunity for people who might think that new work doesn't appeal to them to experience a really relevant, accessible piece of new musical theater. I really hope that people will go on this ride with us. You know, streamed theater is not my favorite thing either, but while I can't be in the theater, I have found a very few pieces that sustain that emotion for me. And I really think this stream of Passing Through will do that. And I really hope our audience will tune in and settle back with a cold beverage and try to enjoy this piece of theater, because I think if they give it a chance, they really will. And they will remain engaged with Goodspeed, and they will also experience a really great piece of new musical theater.
Well, I'm sure people will. We're also used to streaming things, as I say, for the last year, if it's not Zoom or Netflixing or whatever. And so it sounds as if very possibly, I should think your patrons will probably follow that. And who knows, it could be another stream of revenue, obviously, for Goodspeed. To you both, thank you ever so much for your time. Congratulations, Donna Lynn, for becoming the new Artistic Director of Goodspeed. David Bird, Managing Director, welcome back to Connecticut.
Thank you.
And
so
obviously
much.
To one of the best musical theatres that we have in the state. To both of you and to the entire team at Goodspeed, we wish you a good 2021. Let's hope we see the back end of the pandemic very soon. And thank you for joining us on Connecticut East this week.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.
And you can find out what's happening at Goodspeed and details about their new on-demand service at their website, goodspeed.org.
Green Valley Tree LLC is proud to sponsor Connecticut East this week. Contact Green Valley Tree LLC for all your tree removal and plant health care needs and more. Find us at greenvalleytreeworks.com or call 860-234-4041.
Time now for a look at some of the other stories making the headlines in the region recently, sponsored by
the Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling. Is a nonprofit organization which, through advocacy, prevention, and education, is here to support individuals and families who are impacted by problem gambling. Our helpline, 1-888-789-7777, is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We also have live chat and tech support through our website, www.ccpg.org.
Legislation creating a respectful and open world for persons' natural hair, known as the Crown Act, is now state law in Connecticut. Michaela Savitt from the Connecticut News Service has more.
A signing ceremony was held with speeches from Governor Ned Lamont, the bill's legislative champions, and community supporters. Melinda Johnson with the YWCA Hartford spoke at the event and says the Crown Act is an example of transformative legislation that combats racist practices.
If an individual experiences this form of discrimination, they have the right to pursue a lawsuit. That in and of itself validates what Black and brown people have been experiencing for so long and had no ability to seek justice for.
The law includes acceptance of ethnic hair texture and styles in the workplace. In 2019, a study by the beauty products company Dove found that 1 in 5 Black women working in an office or sales setting said they've had to alter their natural hair in order to feel accepted at work. I'm Michaela Savitt, reporting.
In the Connecticut Examiner this week, Connecticut House lawmakers took a step towards asserting legislative oversight over how federal COVID relief funds are spent in the state. State representatives voted 147-0 to advance a bill to the state Senate that would require Governor Lamont to ask lawmakers to approve his plans to distribute federal COVID aid using a process similar to how the state sets its budgets. In the day this week, it wasn't the gaming news many were expecting, but it was big nonetheless. On a day the state and the Mashantucket, Pequot, and Mohegan tribes were expected to go public with an agreement authorizing the tribes to provide sports wagering and online gaming, the Mashantuckets announced they were elevating Jason Guyette, a tribal member, to Foxwood's top post. In the Norwich Bulletin this week, Plainfield officials say they're already seeing ancillary benefits from announced planned construction of a 200,000-square-foot Amazon distribution facility on 61 acres of land at 137 Lathrop Road. The project, which cleared the Planning and Zoning Commission earlier this month, is expected to bring in a fresh workforce, both for the project's construction and operational phases, along with dozens of new families who will live and shop in town. In the Middletown Press this week, Middletown Acting Health Director Kevin Elak expects a rush of people in the new age eligibility to register for the shots on Friday the 19th of March, which will likely delay appointments. Governor Lamont announced recently that people 45 and older will be eligible to receive a COVID-19 vaccine from Friday the 19th, and in next week's Connecticut East this week. Pedestrian versus vehicle accidents in Connecticut are on the increase. We look at some of the data to see why this is. And could you soon be getting a train from New London, traveling up through eastern Connecticut to either Hartford or Massachusetts? It's not as far-fetched as it sounds. That's all from us for this edition. Do send us your questions and story ideas to the show via our website at connecticut-east.com or Facebook or Twitter at Connecticut East and on Instagram at Connecticut East This Week, where you can also listen to the show again on demand. And please like, follow, and share on your social media platforms too. I'm Brian Scott-Smith. Thank you for listening.